It's got a death curse.
Don't all of you be like me.
And then who will help you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
My God, you could spend a weekend there?
This was like watching amateur floor gymnastics. You know, it's not that great. It's doing the routine, it's doing the moves, but at the end, fucking face plant.
Welcome. Welcome to my home and lifestyles of the rich and undeserving.
Paul, favorite scene. And don't say when the credits roll at the end, motherfucker.
Skip, your fly's open.
Eat it.
I was so invested, and I was so disappointed. I will never watch this movie again, and I hate you today for it.
What's happening? Is something wrong?
Because this is on the same level as that fucking stupid-ass Wish movie. Fuck these movies!
Hey, no, wait, don't fight in here! This
everyone
is a horror!
Hey.
He looked dead, unless he was joking.
Welcome
I don't... I saw his face, Chaz!
I fucking hate surprises. So this is all part... I don't. I hate him. I fucking hate him.
If I was to walk up to that well, I would reach into my pocket. I would put out a handful of change. I would throw it into the well and wish for it to be less stupid.
What are you scared? Hey, I said give it a rest!
It was never suspenseful. Everyone dies off camera. There's no good gore effects. And nothing matters. And they what little it gives you, it robs you of in the last 10 minutes.
It's not Muffy. It's her twin sister, Buffy. She's got a twin sister.
April Fool's, Nick!
No!
Fucking April Fool's! On the head. Fucking Scooby-Doo. Fuck you for suggesting this goddamn movie.
April Fool's, dude!
And don't anyone say April Fool's again, or I'll rip them apart.
April!
Hello, my friends. Welcome back to the Horror 101 podcast. This is episode 108, and boy, do we have a fun show for you today. This recording session was like nothing we've ever captured before. My crew hated the film we're about to review, and what's even better, the lovely nude decided to have a couple glasses of wine during the session, and wow, did she ever come out of her shell. The vitriol and spite against me for suggesting this film is over the top. We agreed to cover Fred Walton's April Fool's Day from 1986. If you haven't seen this movie yet, please stop this show right now and watch it first, because there will be ending spoilers right out of the gate. This film was an arguably cruel joke played on slasher fans in the mid-80s, and my crew did not appreciate it. I guarantee this would be unlike any show we've ever put out before. I recently released a statement saying that there wasn't going to be any show for this month in spirit of the film we were covering and the date we were going to release it. And for any of you who fell for that ruse, we just have one thing to say to you.
April Fools! You fell for the classic blunder! The first one being, never get into a land war with Asia, but only slightly less well known as this! Never go in with a Sicilian,
but
death is on the line! And never believe Horror 101 when they say that you're not getting a show at the end of the month. Because I'd say we've had a pretty good track record in the last 10 years getting a show out at the last day of the month for like 9 years
The now. Only time we missed was when you moved into this house.
Oh, yeah?
There was a show you missed then because you didn't have time with the move. And we had to announce ahead of time there would not be a show for 1 month.
Brian Stewart, have you ever seen April Fool's Day?
No, nope. I have.
Oh, you have?
I have seen
it. What?
It's been a long time. I actually think I may have seen it here.
No, I would have remembered that.
Porky's, maybe? Or maybe I rented it from Jumbo. Now, maybe I'm getting two movies mixed up, but is this one where there's like a class reunion in an old high school and the reunion people start getting bumped off one by one?
No, that's Terror Train, right? Isn't it? No, that's a... Oh, you would have seen... Yeah, Porky's always trying to push that. That's Horror High.
Horror High.
Oh,
Horror
amazing.
High. Okay. Maybe 45.
Or there's another one, something reunion massacre. What was the other one?
Slumber Party Massacre?
No.
This was
one.
A class reunion gone wrong. Like somebody,
Horror High.
Okay, that's what it is.
The killer was in like a jester cap?
Yes.
Yeah, that's Horror High.
Okay, then maybe I haven't seen this.
It was like the first movie that had...
I thought I rented
this. From Dusk Till Dawn. Help me out.
Clooney?
Yes. It was. He has like a bit part as a security guard in it something like that.
You know what? If I have seen it, it was so long ago. It would have been Jumbo Video days.
We were just talking. The big star in this is Biff.
Stuart Wilson.
Tom Wilson.
Sorry. Stuart Wilson was the guy from Death and the Maiden.
There's a couple of faces that you're going to identify in this film. And I know Helen's seen it, but she doesn't even remember it. I remember. I don't remember all the key pieces, though. So watching this again, I'm going to be reintroduced to it. I remember how it begins. I remember how it ends. But everything in the middle. Everything in the middle, I kind of forget. I forget how people die, this, that, and the other thing.
I can't remember the last time I watched this one.
Oh, God.
With Miffy? Was it Miffy? It's been a long time for me, man. It's Miffy.
This is 86.
This is not quality. This film
I'm
is
sure
not going to knock. It's not going to knock anybody's socks off. Yeah. It was like 85, I think.
86.
Was it 86?
I just said 86.
So the slasher genre had almost run its course. I mean, Jason was still going on. Freddy was still going on. Michael Myers hadn't come back yet, not for a couple of years.
No, because Part 3 fucked them.
Leatherface hadn't come back yet. So as far as slashers were concerned, like all the big ones that had come out between like 80 and 84, I would say. There's a ton of them. Final Exam, Terror Train.
There was a bunch of just...
The cheap. Prowler, Pieces, Torso, yeah. You fucking name it, man. There was 1,000 of them, but all between 80 and 84.
Yeah.
And then it started slowing down, because 85 got to this fair, like Vamp,
yeah.
Fright Night, Return of the Living Dead, that kind of shit
Near
started
Dark
rolling.
And all that shit. The one thing about this was... kind of towards the end, not quite the end, but towards the end of the themed horror films. You know, where it was like April Fool's Day and, you know, shit like that.
Yeah, they had run out of holidays or calendar events to make a slasher out of, you know? Like, we already did Valentine's Day Massacre, right? New Year's Evil, which I've never seen only because everybody says it's fucking horrible.
Terrible. My Bloody Valentine.
That's the one.
Yeah.
You know, and how many Christmas Evil films were there? Silent Night, Christmas
They're
Evil.
Making another Silent Night, right?
Don't Open Till Christmas, Elves, which I've never seen.
Another terrible fucking film.
See?
But going back to this one, director of this is responsible for one of the scariest movies in film history.
April Fool's Day?
Yeah. Well, not April Fool's Day, but the director of it. Directed when a stranger calls.
Oh yeah,
and that opening half an hour is fucking terrifying.
Oh yeah,
that bit. I even just talking about it gets goosebumps.
Carol Kane.
Hello.
Why haven't you checked the children?
And it was, especially in the 80s, it was polarizing. This movie was polarizing. Either you loved it or you hated it. It was like Friday the 13th, Part 5.
Fuck that movie.
You know, it was either you loved it or you were like, this is shit, and this is why. You know, people just couldn't get over this. You know, the one element of the film, you know, they discarded everything else. It was this one element made it shit.
I enjoy it. I don't think it's a great. I mean, I'll tell you right now, my rating for this is going to be 6. Like, straight up.
It might be 6.5.
Yeah. Have you asked the required question of Nick yet?
I did, but it was kind of with your conversation about Schitt's Creek. So,
have you seen it?
Nope, I have not seen it. I really hope Scott Baio's in it.
Scott Baio? No,
you're fucking 80s.
You're gonna notice there's a couple of faces where you're gonna be like, oh, I know that face.
Oh, it's that guy who's in that thing.
We're running a little bit late, so I'd like to
start the movie. It's not a long movie, though, so really.
It's 90 minutes, but we're still gonna talk about it for an hour, right? So. It's about 8:36 right now, right?
Anyone need you need another pump?
I'm gonna go to the bathroom. Just start. I've seen it. Just start it.
No.
I want you here for every frame, Paul B.
Come on, man.
I've already reviewed it. Remember?
Come on, damn it, shit. Yeah, he's already given a score 6. He's like, I'm gonna give this a 6. I know it, and he's gonna stick to it just to spite me. Even if he sits in that chair and fucking loves or hates it more or less than what he said, you're still gonna give it a 6. 10.
It's the best horror film I've ever seen.
You won't say that. This ain't Maniac remake.
Paramount Pictures cordially invites you for a weekend getaway at the party to end all parties.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights, cause I don't want to see.
April Fool.
Welcome to my home and lifestyles of the rich and undeserving.
Wrong.
Cheers.
Join 8 privileged guests who are just dying to have fun.
Wow, what is this, the bridal suite? You like it?
The ladies.
I find a use for it.
The gentlemen.
We did, on the first date.
The young.
Well, basically, I possess an essential lack of seriousness.
Run, kid! And the restless.
Such a jerk.
Everyone is having such a good time. It's scary.
Something wrong?
You're dead.
Radio is blasting. Someone's knocking at the door. I'm looking at my girl. She passed out.
Nikki!
I'll see someone in the hall. I've never seen before. Don't know what it is. I don't want to see.
April Fool's Day. Get ready to party till you drop.
Let me rewind us all back to a few minutes ago.
I enjoy it. I don't think it's a great, great, great... I mean, I'll tell you right now, my rating for this is going to be 6. Like, straight up. Fuck this film. I forgot how bad this fucking movie is. Fuck it.
April Fool's!
April Fool's
can blow me. So, April Fool's at us. This is the real show. You've got another movie for us to watch.
What's wrong, Brian Stewart?
Earlier I said I was giving this a 6.
And now you're giving it?
Fucking 0.
Let's start from the beginning.
What?
Press play again.
When you tricked us into liking it?
No.
Oh, no. You tricked me. Fuck this.
Oh, Mister!
You were here earlier. I said the highest I'm going to go is a 6. You mentioned when I said I'm lowering this. This is
no. This that's not what you said. What you said was I'm going to tell you what my score is right now. It's going to be a 6. So we'll fucking see what your score is at the end.
Oh,
of
I'll
the
tell
show,
you because this is on the same level as that fucking stupid ass witch movie. Fuck these movies.
Hey, wait, no fighting here. This is a no room. Hey, and credit where it's due. That witch movie, when people died, it was for real.
I love that both of us just trying to look at each other at the same time.
I've never seen Paul so pissed off. I love it. And nude, so animated.
I hate bad horror. I hate it. Unless it's supposed to be, like, intentionally bad. I hate it.
So up until that last 5 or 6 fucking horrible minutes.
Yeah, like, literally, this is a movie you can only ever watch once.
Oh, yeah. There is no fucking way I'm watching it again.
This
is
has to be, like, the 4th or 5th time I've seen it.
I'm sorry. I thought it was a good movie because what I was thinking, again...
Because you thought it was on the level.
Yeah, I don't mind about unexpected. I don't mind that I don't... Fuck off! Stop laughing at me!
We have levels on the meter now.
Well, at least you're talking...
You're going to get curb
stomped.
Nude,
damn boys.
Nude, you're actually talking at a volume that people will be able to hear you.
Eat your fucking brownies.
No, I've already had a brownie. Thank you.
I'm going to have another brownie.
I've had 4.
Okay, hold on a second. We'll get to that. Let's start at the beginning.
Choose your weapons, big guy. Hey, what's this? You up for a game of stretch?
Skip, your fly's open.
Eat it.
Everybody's congregating on this barge to go to this whatever.
Mansion.
This island on island mansion, right?
What, are you a fucking whip? I'm really not that interested in it. Come on, man, just one more. Double or nothing.
Enough's enough.
What are you scared? Hey, I said give it a rest! Oh, fuck.
The knife thing sold it for me. Yeah. Like you guys said, when he throws the knife at the guy when they were playing that, what do they call it, stretch with the knife?
Yeah.
I bought that. Yeah. That was good. Like, how the fuck did they pull that shit off?
We got him! Yeah, did we nail him?
Ha ha ha, April Fools, very funny. What the hell is wrong with you guys? Somebody could have gotten very hurt out there.
Oh, at least we don't go in for this shoelaces untied crap.
But when the guy was in the water trying to lasso the frickin' the mooring there, and the boat crushed his ass, and he comes up screaming with that shit on his face, yeah, it looked horrible, but when you're 12, fucked me up for a moment, you know? Like, I'm like, oh my god, because he had the fake gore followed by this maiming. But, you know, I just visualize this guy getting crushed between a dock and the fucking barge. This is legit. That guy's fucked up, man.
Cody McBoatface just wanted to give you some love,
he got
man.
Fucked up. And then that fucked me up.
And then you're supposed to have a wonderful B&B weekend after that.
Maybe it's because you were 10 when you watched it the first time, and I'm fucking 51. This is not working.
Come on, man.
No, this is not working.
It's retro. And like Brian said, well, the guy in the truck was all down. He's like, oh my God. Did you see his face?
Oh, fucking dude.
He was all fucked up. That one guy was all screwed up. He wasn't having a good weekend.
At that point, the weekend deceived. Would have been canceled if it was real.
Like, I'm deceived. I feel like I was deceived.
So with this toast, may our hearts run over and our friendships be formed.
All right.
Oh, cheers.
Cheers.
Going down.
Okay.
Oh my God.
April Fool.
Cuz I like how the first day you got Muffy and she's playing she's happy to see everybody and she's playing it right and she has that dinner and she plays that joke with everybody where there's a swath cut out in their drink and their drink all the, and the gags are being played and she's like April Fools. I like the gags throughout the entire film, like the chair busting on Biff and him
which
rolling
they
back
did fucking like three times.
Yes, exactly.
He never stopped. It was always funny. It was always funny.
It wasn't funny. He's about to fucking jerk it off in the fucking bedroom and all of a sudden he falls over again.
That was
you're right.
Funny.
It should have. The chair should have gave out right when he came, so he got himself in the fucking eye.
Yeah.
He just arced and landed on himself.
Real funny, you guys! That right, you can kill me!
Yeah, well, honestly, that was my
favorite. Of course it was.
He goes in, he like bends over, like goes, like just walks in, and it says that dramatic pause of them just like, and part of me is just like, oh fuck, I've never tried that one before. And then just like, you see him just like, back out, close the door.
Back still arched, he's like, back.
Like, that was actually done to fairly decent comedic effect. Like,
I like that part of the film because at that point there's a lot of levity and you get the feeling that everybody's there to have fun.
It's like that calm before the storm type thing, you know?
Until
yeah.
They lie to you.
Half an hour later, everybody's like, shit's wrong and we gotta get out of here.
Where's Skip? Has anybody seen him?
Who wants to know?
God damn it, can't you just give me a straight answer?
We just saw him down at the boathouse. He was drifting behind a boat and he wasn't moving. He looked dead, unless he was joking.
Well,
I don't
know.
I saw his face, Chaz.
Look, has anybody seen him since last night?
Well, we'll look for him. I'll go with you. Come on.
I'm coming too.
What's happening? Is something wrong?
And all of a sudden, this girl is aloof through the entire film. And you're like, what the fuck is this broad's problem? You know, she was just with it last night. What's her problem now kind of deal? And then from there, they're trying to... They're piecing this together, figuring out this isn't the girl that invited us here.
The well I liked only because, you know, her being trapped floating water with all the body parts coming up, I thought
well,
it was
stupid.
Brought you to Poltergeist.
That was it. It was probably the most frightening visual, I think, in the entire movie.
The well
was that
stupid.
Moment.
You were stupid.
But then you have to ask, they were looking down that well when the bucket fell in. How did the body parts just all of a sudden rise to the surface after
Because
I don't understand.
The well was stupid. If I was to walk up to that well, I would reach into my pocket, I would put out a handful of change, I would throw it into the well and wish for it to be less stupid.
Oh my God. The picture of the girls in the study. That letter. And what the constable was trying to tell you.
It's not Muffy, it's her twin sister Buffy. She's got a twin sister. Rob, don't you see? Rob! Oh my God!
They're in the basement and they figure shit out, and you can see Miffy or Buffy or Muffy or whatever the fuck her name is nailing the window in. So now that they gotta go back up into the kitchen, and when she's at the door and she's looking at him, kind of, and trying to get through the door, and she's just looking at him, not saying anything, and then that fucking huge ass fucking knife, I've never seen a knife like that, comes through the door and starts going with the lock. I'm like, this bitch means business, man. Like, you guys gotta get out of there now. Yeah. I liked that.
Run, kid! Run!
Just leave us alone, okay? Please. We're just gonna go home now.
So, when the chick's coming in and Buddy's locked in the closet and she's bearing in with that knife, did you not think that Amy's... How is she going to get out of the situation?
No,
were you not worried about her safety?
As a fucking horror fan, yeah. I'm like devastated that that's not how it turned out. That all it was all for naught, and then she's like clicking the knife. Hopefully you're going to do like spoilers, but she's clicking the knife. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me right now? I don't have a payoff. I am not satisfied right now. I don't like it. And now it ruined the whole movie for me.
Oh, nude. April Fool's nude.
No. 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 Oh, ha ha. Ha 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 ha. That's really funny, you guys. Really funny. Fuck you.
April Fool's.
Okay, you know how I feel about surprises. I fucking hate surprises. So this is all part. I hate them. I fucking hate them.
Come on, nude. Did you hate it?
I didn't hate it.
Oh my God.
There was a
ruin. That ending gonna ruin the whole thing. I was invested.
Yeah. You know,
so invested.
I can tell. Nude was ketchup bottled. That's the thing. Nude was. Nude was like, oh, this is. She's trying to piece everything together. She's got a twin. She's got an evil twin who's killed her sister, and now she's trying to take out her friends. Oh, this is great. And then all of a sudden, the ketchup. Take that, nude.
Yeah,
take
if I was a guy, bottle. I would have been ketchup bottled. Absolutely.
The second she said twin, I knew that she was excited, and then I knew she was going to be really, really fucking blue-balled. I knew. Like, right then and there, she's going to be pissed.
What's this all about? And don't anyone say April Fool's again, or I'll rip them apart.
April!
I tell you, it's a script for a weekend special. It's gonna help me keep the house. Look, next month, I get the house as part of my mother's inheritance. It's true. But only if I could show my father that it could carry itself, with taxes and expenses and all. However, otherwise he's gonna sell it out of the family. So I decided to turn it into a country inn. But not just a stuffy old run-of-the-mill country inn. One that specializes in offering a once-in-a-lifetime whodunit weekend. I needed a rehearsal.
It's stage one of her inheritance. This is like the fucking
order. So we were put through this entire movie so she can keep that fucking place?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a rich kid.
You've got a hole to dig yourself out of, sir.
Are you telling me you would not want to be this chick's friend? You know, come out for a weekend in this nice, picturesque.
She would have actually died. I would have killed her.
I don't like girls to begin with. I don't have a lot of female friends to begin with, because too much drama. I would never be this girl's friend ever.
So you guys all had a part in this, right?
Don't look at me.
No, we got sucked into this just as badly as you did. Once you were all killed off, yes, but everybody had to cooperate or none of it would have worked.
This movie did to Newt exactly what it was supposed to do. She thought she was in for a horror slasher film, and she was into the mystery, and she was into the kills and everything, and then all of a sudden the rug was ripped out from under her, and she landed flat on her fucking ass. Right, so going, what the hell is happening?
Now we get to see her Hulk out on Wine Rage. Thank you.
You tricked me.
April Fool's, dude.
You tricked me. So
Check. You tricked me. Okay, I'm flopping
that straight. If it's all supposed to be fake, what the hell is the point of having Tom Wilson step in that snare? That makes no sense now in the context of the film. He could have just wandered off and gone missing, and they could have found his head in the well. But instead, they had that whole pointless scene with a snare.
Piss me off, Brian Stewart. Hold on. Why.
Hold on. I think I
want to hear you grasp the fucking straws on this.
Oh, yeah.
I think that most
here
of these...
Here comes the gymnastics.
Oh, yes.
Most of these people were in on the fact that something was going to happen to them. I think the only... there were two individuals that weren't in on the joke entirely. The rest were. But I think the way that they were going to fall into the story, they didn't know about. So the snare probably scared the shit out of them.
There's a snare in the middle of a giant jungle. They're just going to hope that he's going to step into it.
No, I think, though, you know, and I'm not defending this movie. For the record, I'm not defending.
I can tell.
They explain this is that they were unwilling participants because it was after the fact.
And they needed test subjects to make sure. Like, at some point, Biff there, when he got snagged, was probably scared half to fucking death.
Yeah.
And then
well,
Buddy
I'm sure the snake helped.
Off camera, we don't see that the guy walks up saying, hey, everything's cool. By the way, you're dead for the rest of the weekend. This is a joke. I'll cut you down, you're cool.
So hold on. You're thinking that they only found out it was a prank after they were...
That's what she said, though.
I think some of them were,
that's
yes.
That's what she said, though. That's exactly what she said.
I thought the unwilling participants were meant to be those two.
No, they were never... They were always
those,
the ones.
The two at the end? The guy in the closet and Amy Steele?
No, they were never
going
to find out.
They had no
Everybody
idea.
Else had no idea until they
were,
quote-unquote, victims. Yeah.
It was a fake, it was cheap, and that's why I'm angry at it.
Yeah.
Because there shouldn't be anything on screen outside of the narrative that they're trying to lay out at the end, which is why the Scooby-Doo ending is a dick punch, because they lead us to believe it is something different intentionally.
And April Fool's, Nick!
No!
Fucking April Fool's! On the head. Fucking Scooby-Doo! Fuck you for suggesting this goddamn movie!
April Fool's, dude! Fill that wine glass. Come on, man.
The movie, it was fun. I'm not saying, I mean, it was good. I mean, you know, the deaths and the, you know, and the, well, up until, but I think I'm just pissed off because I expected something and I got, what I got was not a horror ending.
And Paul's reaction, excuse me, Paul's reaction, what you're seeing right now is what, like, 95% of the horror community was like when this film first came out in 86. They went and watched it, they're like, okay, we got a brand new slasher, let's give it our money, it's Paramount, let's watch it. Well, and they're following along with it, there's mystery and people dying, it was light on the gore, and then all of a sudden, at the very end, it was an April, the whole movie was an April Fool's joke on you. Nobody died, everybody's fine.
But we had fun, didn't we? Come on! I'm never gonna forget this weekend as long as I live.
Oh my god!
You know what the best thing about this film is? It's the poster with all the friends sitting at the table going cheers.
Yeah.
The host is sitting there with the back and her hair is in a noose.
Yeah.
The marketing was better than the movie.
Yeah. If I could just put in another thing that I don't like now that I've recognized that this is a Paramount film. And Frank Mancuso Jr., who was producing all the Friday the 13ths, he's double dipping. That's the one thing about this film, too. Like, okay, if this was a New Line Cinema or a Miramax or something like that, I might give him a pass, but this is Frank Mancuso Jr. double dipping in the genre. There's no reason why he had to do this. They were still pumping out Friday the 13th slashes
at this
time.
So this was Amy Steele, Frank Mancuso Jr. It was that the house from Friday the 13th, too. And like I said earlier, the casting director is the same person that the cast the first at least three
and they're double dipping.
Yeah, we recognize those stairs going down to the dock.
Yeah, they're double dipping in a full slasher film in the 80s. I don't appreciate.
Welcome to my home and lifestyles of the rich and undeserving.
Brian Stewart, score it for me, please.
Right, now, I'm gonna give you my reasoning first.
Oh, Jesus Christ! The excuses before the score. This is gonna be good.
That's good. Up until the stupid ass reveal that everyone's still alive, This was the tamest movie we have ever done. So it was subpar slasher to begin with. And then you reveal that nobody died. Then it got even lower. Then it went lower.
April Fool's Day!
So I had this, and maybe until that moment, if they had a good ending with a good knife fighter or some kind of good death for the villain, I was like, this is a solid 4 or 5. And then everyone's still alive and nothing matters, and it went... So I think I have to give it a... I'm going to give it... Holy hell. I got to work out like fractions here. I'm going to give it a 2.5.
2.5? Brian Stewart?
2.5.
Oh my god.
Yeah, because up until then, there was no suspense.
You are the most forgiving fucker on my phone.
I know. And I like cheesy horror. But it was never suspenseful. Everyone dies off camera. There's no good gore effects. And nothing matters. And what little it gives you, it robs you of in the last 10 minutes. So it's just. No. Sorry. This is a. Had this been an actual movie, you would have been entertained.
Somewhere out there is the island my friend Muffy owns. It's spring break, and she's invited us over there for the weekend. And...
Mick, do you want to score this for us, please?
Yes. I am going to give it a 7.
What?
Look at Paul.
Paul just lifted his ass.
To get up and fucking
he
punch
just
you.
Lifted his ass out of his chair.
He would get off that because he says Ryan's too far to punch. He will get up and punch
oh,
him
I
in
would
the throat.
Paul just, listeners, Paul just did a fucking dip in an armchair. As soon as
no and I'm chair. A bad guy too, which
and
makes
just
more
did a
impressive.
Dip in an armchair when Nick said that. Please continue, Nick.
And scene.
Did you say April Fool's after your
yes son? I did
okay. He did.
Unfortunately I couldn't hear it over everybody losing their goddamn minds.
I should have realized and knew the smart ass should have been what was going to be one
the
to do
snark.
That
there's going to, honestly this movie reminds me of my childhood. It was joyless and yeah. It ultimately amounted to nothing.
So
I'm gonna give this a 2.
A 2.
A 2.
Oh, half a mark lower. How are we?
I will never watch this again. If it wasn't for the fucking ending, like if you subtract the ending from this movie, I was maybe gonna give it a 6.
And it has 2 endings.
I know. The shit that they did that served no purpose except to make us think that this was a legitimate fucking movie. Yeah, it was just like, yeah, it wasn't even like, it was a cock slap to the face. Yeah.
A cock slap in the face.
Yes. It wouldn't even give me the dignity of using their hands.
So I just had
take this dick in the face.
Exactly, which leaves me wondering afterwards, why is it wet?
I'm not worried about those two. Skip and Art, they're probably playing some kind of stupid trick.
Paul B, score this film.
I will give it a 1.
Oh my god.
Well, and I am dead serious. The only thing that redeems it for me at all is Amy Steele. Had a crush on her since the 80s. Friday the 13th 2.
Did you even like her dialogue? Or
no,
her,
I don't give a fuck. You didn't just like her watching her.
You just the yeah. fact that she was in it gives her like, gives a point.
Yeah, that's it. Movie makes no sense. Even the scenes before the stupid fucking goddamn cocksucking reveal make no sense. There is stuff in here, like Nick keeps talking about, that does not exist in their reality as characters in the film. It's just made just for us. The whole thing is a massive waste of time. It is quite possibly one of the worst films of any genre I've ever seen. I would rather watch the stupid witch film. That fucking superstition.
I can put it on right now.
You can blow me first.
Let's watch it, man.
And fuck you.
I got superstition right now.
I don't give a fuck.
At least it had effects.
Fuck. I hate this fucking film.
At least there wasn't a hand grabbing somebody and ripping them off camera every 20
minutes.
There's
literally a scene where somebody off camera throws a cat at somebody. Did everybody forgot about that? Remember the fucking cat?
We don't even get a
hand. He just did another dip. Yeah. He's getting a workout that
I
chair.
Hate this I hate this movie. I hate this movie so much.
That's it. I don't like this. I definitely don't think I like this. Time to call the police!
Nude! Good, I want you to score this now!
More wine first?
I was gonna say it's at least it's a 3/4 bottle.
Listeners, Nude has about 3 centimeters of wine left in her bottle, So this ought to be fun. Nude, what's your score?
My score my score is a 3.
Oh,
wow.
It's 3 just because up until the ketchup bottle at the end.
Yeah.
It was something that I was actually
invested.
Oh my god.
Zany fun.
Maybe I thought, maybe I figured it out. It was this, it's a twin sister. You know, even if it wasn't a twin sister, even if it was her that was making it out to be, I was okay with that. But it turned out to be a fucking joke because of this fucking rich bitch to prove something to her rich father that she can handle it. No, I don't like it. I didn't like it. But because of up until then, I was so invested and I was so disappointed. I will never watch this movie again, and I hate you today for it.
Here. God, not the water.
It's all right. It's Perrier.
I'm gonna give this movie a 10 just to see fucking Paul make another fucking dip. Come on, don't. No, those are full. Hold on. No, it's not a 10. I will give this movie a 4.5.
Oh, God.
It is a fail. It is a fail. It's 4.5. Okay, and things that I like about this film, the whole knife gag at the beginning I liked. I have fond memories of the fairy smashing the guy's face up, freaking the hell out of me the first time I saw this film.
Because
I only saw the first part of this film the first time I watched it, so everything was completely out of context. I didn't see the rest of the film. I just saw the first like 10 minutes of it, so I thought that was legit. And then years later, I watched the full film and I realized that okay, it was a joke. But the first time I saw that sequence, it was out of context and it freaked the shit out of me. I was young. Other than that, I liked the fact, I had great pleasure sitting here watching Nude deliberate and figure out this mystery. And this was why this film was so polarizing when it first came out in 86, because everybody thought for sure that this movie was going to be another slasher. They were They were dropping money on another slasher called April Fool's Day. And they thought for sure that they knew what they were in for. And the fact that there was little to no gore, at the end of it, the rug is pulled out from under you, which was completely new. And it fits the theme of the movie. Listen, if this movie was rich kid kills their friends on an island massacre or something like that, and they rip the rug out from under you at the end of the film, I could understand it. But you went to a horror film called April Fool's Day, and at the end of it, it was a fucking joke. It was a fucking joke. Yeah, it did exactly twice what the title suggested it was going to give you. It was a horror movie based on a calendar day, not a holiday, but just a calendar day, and it did exactly what it was supposed to do.
High five.
And everybody got fucking pissed off about it. You know, I get it. I understand it. See? I understand. You know what? I have to say, this is the first time in the history of doing this podcast where I'm happy that you are all fucking dissatisfied. Where I'm happy that you're all like, fuck this movie, because it did exactly what it was supposed to do.
You guys are so terrific. I love you all, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being such good sports. I'm not told that it's come.
And there you have it, episode 108, featuring Fred Walton's April Fool's Day, starring Deborah Foreman, Thomas Wilson, and Amy Steele. It's not that often we get this much energy from a recording session. Even though this film was just scraped along the very hot proverbial coals, this was a lot of fun. We hope you enjoyed yourselves during this show. And if you did, consider dropping by patreon.com/horror101 and giving us a pledge. Supporting patrons get access to our cutting room floor segments that we release midway through the month between shows. And we finally have swag, ladies and gentlemen. Shirts, cups, mugs, bags, stickers, magnets, you name it, it's available for you. Head on over to our website, horror101.ca, and check out the link on the right side of the page. Grab some Horror 101 swag and help the show. It would be much appreciated. For the world-famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, the nefarious Paul B., and my wife, the lovely Nude, this is Cash Wampum saying thanks for listening and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you.
And we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101, Educating Your Fears.
I want you to come out to my mansion on my private island so you can have wieners and beans.
Right? What is up with... Thank you, Brian Stewart. What is up with that? She's fucking rich. She's feeding her guests. You guys come to our house. Do you ever get fucking beaners and weens at my house?
Beaners and weens.
That's getting edited.
Hold on.
No. I'm sorry. Did you just drop a racial slur in the middle of the fucking podcast?
Go ahead. Beaners and weens. I'm continuing.
Wait.
Those damn...
Well, we just lost Hispanic listeners.
And the wiener fans.
Wieners. Stop it.
All right.